Here at Trinity, we are studying the Sermon on the Mount of Olives, Matthew 24 and 25. We've been studying that for several weeks. You should have your notes in the bulletin. I think the numbering is off on the notes. Does it start with number 4?
Yes.
Or does it start with number 1? Some people have 4, some people have 1. All right, that's a mistake. If you have number 1, then it is number 1. If you have number 4, then 4 is number 1. I apologize for the mistake in printing. So number 1, the theme of the entire section is this: a committed follower of Jesus Christ must be faithfully obeying his commands and always watching for his return. That's number 1. The theme of Matthew 24 and 25 is a committed follower of Jesus Christ must be faithfully obeying his commands and always watching for his return. This is the theme of the whole section. Therefore, this is the theme of the parable we're going to study today. A few weeks ago, we looked at the parable of the virgins. Would you please open your Bibles with me to Matthew 25? Please open your Bibles to Matthew 25 and let's review. This is what we studied a couple weeks ago. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Can you see the theme working through Matthew 24 and 25? Again, a committed follower of Jesus Christ must be faithfully obeying his commands and always watching for his return. Jesus is going to continue on in this theme this morning. So would you please stand with me as we read this morning's passage? Matthew 25:14. "Again, it," that is the kingdom, "will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. 'Master,' he said, 'you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more.' His master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.' The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. So I was afraid. I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. And throw the worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now that God would open your heart? Pray that God would soften your heart. Pray that God would help you to be completely humble and receptive to His Word, that His Word can change your heart and change your life this morning. You pray that right now. Will you pray now for the other people in this room, that God would open their hearts and soften their hearts and give them a humble, trusting, submissive heart that would respond to the Word of God, and pray that God, through His Word, by His Spirit, would change their hearts today. Now would you pray for me that I would preach accurately and therefore powerfully? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Great passage today. Again, some of you are new or newer. I want to remind you that on the back of the sermon notes, there is a list of all the cross references that we'll be studying today in order of appearance. So I hope that that is helpful to you. Verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. The kingdom of God will be like a man going on a journey. He needs his money to be managed while he is gone. In Jesus' day, wealthy people would have slaves that were like managers. They had authority. They had responsibility in the home, just like a manager would today. And it was very common for a wealthy person to have a slave that managed his estate. The man in the story going on a journey is quite obviously our Lord Jesus Christ. And the slaves are us. We are the slaves, people. 2,000 years ago, our Lord left this earth. He is coming back, and our Lord Jesus Christ has given us a job to do while he is away. Amen. Stay in Matthew. Always stay in Matthew 25. We will never leave it. And please join me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and was raised again. Amen? We do not live for ourselves. As Christians, we were placed on this earth to do a job. Now, you might see in your notes that I've asked you to put a little bookmark in 2 Corinthians 5, because we'll be back there later this morning. Let's go back to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, 15. To one, he gave 5 talents of money, to another, 2 talents, and to another, 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. Now, what is a talent? Very important that we understand how much a talent is. It will help us to understand the parable. Brother Dave Duckett is going to help me with this. So Dave is coming up. In the Bible, a talent was first used as a measure of weight. A measure of weight. A talent in the Bible, come on up here, Dave, please. A talent in the Bible was between 60 and 80 pounds. This is a big, strong guy, and this is a crankshaft of an engine. Pistons go here, 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 here. This thing turns between 1 and 5,000 RPM in your motor, and it weighs 70 pounds. Now, what I want you to see is this is 1 talent. A talent is a unit of weight. 1 talent. A talent of silver, for example, if we can assume that the master entrusted 5 talents to one, 2, and 1 to another. If we assume that the talent was silver, a talent of silver would weigh 70 pounds. That's 1 talent. It's a lot of money. Thank you, Dave. Praise the Lord. Dave Duckett, 323 Home and Auto. If you need that crankshaft installed in your vehicle, he'll be happy to do that. All right. Starts out with a talent of weight. Later on, it became a unit of money. A unit of money. It's a lot of money. Obviously, if it's 75 pounds of gold or silver or bronze, perhaps silver in this story, then it would be a lot of money. Do you remember earlier on in Matthew, we studied the parable of the landowner who goes out, he's got a field, he wants to hire workers. So he goes out early in the morning and hires workers, and he says, come work in my field, and I will pay you what? Who remembers? A denarius. Remember that? A denarius. A denarius is a common day's wage. And remember the beautiful grace taught in that parable. He grabs a bunch early in the morning. He pays them a denarius. He goes out at noon, goes out at I think it was 4 and then 5. The guys worked 1 hour, they get a denarius. The guys that worked the whole day get a denarius. A denarius is a common day's wage. Brothers and sisters of Trinity, 1 talent of silver is worth 6,000 denarii. It would take the common day laborer 20 years or more to earn 1 talent. I want you to see that, because this in this beautiful story, this is really important. In this beautiful story, the landowner or the master is entrusting the people with a whole lot of money. It's a whole lot of money. It would take a common laborer about 20 years to earn 1 talent, because 1 talent is the equivalent of 6,000 denarii. All right. He says, manage the money while I am gone. And again, the whole theme here is, number one in your notes, a committed follower of Jesus Christ must be faithfully obeying his commands and always watching for his return. Turn your page back with me. Very, very similar, and has the same point of what Jesus has said before in Matthew 24:45. Matthew 24:45. I want you to see that Jesus is driving this point home throughout the sermon. 24:45. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time. And he then begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and an hour he is not aware. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus is making the same point throughout this one sermon. Matthew 24 and 25 are one sermon. The point is this: Jesus is our master. He left the earth. When he left the earth, he entrusted us with a job to do. Verse 16 in our passage. 25:16. What happened? The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. What does that mean, put his money to work? Well, what the man did with the 5 talents, which again is a fortune, 5 talents, 100 years' wages, the master entrusted to this first guy, according to his ability, says the text. According to his ability. He says he put the money to work. What happened is this. This faithful servant went out and conducted business. Perhaps he set up a business. Perhaps he went into business. He worked. Took that huge amount of capital, set up some business, went into business for himself, and faithfully worked the entire time his master was away. The second servant did the same thing. Look at the text. Verse 17. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. You remember in Matthew 13, where it's the parable of the pearl of great price, the man goes out, he finds the pearl, and what does he do? Over great joy, he hides it and goes out and buys the field. In Bible times, hiding money was a really, really common practice. You've got one talent, which again would be 20 years' wages. That's a lot of money. A lot of money. So it was very common, very, very common for people in that day. You got a lot of money or you have a valuable, you go out and you hide it. You hide it. Same Greek word, by the way, when we're actually, this is Hebrew. We're called to treasure the word in our hearts that we may not sin against God. You bury it deep into your heart. This is what the man did. Look at verse 19. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who'd received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2. I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. I want you to see something here this morning, brothers and sisters. The reward is the same. Did you see that? Exactly the same. 1 servant made 5 talents. 1 servant took 100 years' wages, and he made another 100 years' wages. He was incredibly successful. His master says, well done, you've been faithful, come and share the happiness. The other guy also doubled, but he made far less money. Exactly the same. Exactly the same. All God wants you and I to do is be faithful. Be faithful to the calling you've received. Be faithful to your gifts you've received. Be faithful to the resources you've been given. Don't compare yourself to other people. Amen. Just be faithful. Don't compare what you do for God with what someone else has done. Just be faithful with the calling and the gifts and the resources that you have received. That's all God wants. Verse 24. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathered where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew I would harvest where I had not sown and gather where I had not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. Throw the worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In this parable, Jesus is encouraging us to be ready for his unexpected, totally surprise return by serving him faithfully until he returns. The wicked slave does not just lose his talent, he suffers the wrath of the master. In the parable, we are the servants, and Jesus is the master. And my question to you is, are you ready for his coming? We've been studying Matthew 24 and 25 for several weeks now. We have 1 more sermon on the second coming. just one more after this, and then we're going to move on to the passion of the Christ. But I want to ask you, are you ready for his coming? We do not earn our salvation by good deeds. We do not earn our salvation by serving the Lord. Praise God, it is a free, undeserved gift to those who are disqualified. It's a free, undeserved gift by his grace. But number two in your notes, number two or number five, depending on what copy you have, those that truly love the Lord will serve him out of gratitude for his grace. Those that truly love the Lord will serve him out of gratitude for his grace. Those of us in this room that are faithfully serving our Lord are the ones that are ready for him to return. If you love the Lord, you will serve him. Amen. That's what Jesus says in John chapter 15. If you love me, you'll obey. If you love the Lord, you will serve him. If you do not serve him, but live for yourself, then you do not truly love him. You need to get your life right with the Lord before you leave this room. His coming will be unexpected. It will be totally by surprise. That's the teaching of all of Matthew 24 and 25. His coming will be unexpected. It'll be totally by surprise. And if you are not, if your relationship with God is not right, if you are not serving him faithfully, you need to come up and talk to an elder before you leave today. Are you ready for him to return? Number three in your notes. And this is the lesson of this specific parable. You have the theme of the whole section in number one. The lesson of this specific parable is here. We can be ready for Christ's return by faithfully serving him until he comes back to take us home. There's parents in this room. I'm a parent. A lot of you are parents. You know what it's like to hire a babysitter, right? I remember when our dear Elizabeth was young, we had our first babysitter. That person, we vetted them for months. I'm just kidding. But you understand what I'm saying. You have a babysitter, and then you leave, and you're entrusting that babysitter with a very important possession. And we know that sometimes we've seen it on TV. Hopefully you haven't experienced it, but the parents leave, and what happens? You've seen it on TV and movies. The parents leave. The babysitter calls some friends over or is on the phone or texting or Facebook or whatever. The kid's doing whatever. And the parents say, I'll be home at 9. What happens? At 8:45, they clean up everything, turn everything off, clean up the kid, give him some food. Oh, that was great. The faithful babysitter takes care of the kid no matter when the parent is coming back. Jesus has entrusted us with a job. He's entrusted us with a job, and his return will be totally unexpected. Are you faithfully serving him until he returns? What are some of our responsibilities in your notes? What are some responsibilities as Christians? Number one, we are responsible to take care of one another until he returns. We're responsible to take care of one another until he returns. I want you to see this. This is exactly in the text. This is not something I pulled out from another portion of Scripture, as important as that would be and as valuable as that would be. We're going to do two or three more of those. But this number one is right in the text. Look at what happens. Look at what Jesus says right after the parable we are discussing. Verse 31. Verse 31 in Matthew 25. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from the other as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on the right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you look after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needed clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go to visit you?" Then the king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is right out of the text. He tells this story of the faithful servants with 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. And then right after that, he mentions this. Could it be any clearer that one of the responsibilities that he has left us with is, number one, to take care of each other? That is what he has called you and I to do. We will study that in depth in 2 weeks, that passage. In 2 weeks. I hope you can be here. For now, please turn to John chapter 13. John 13, 34. If you read the New Testament, if you study the New Testament, read it over and over again, you will see Jesus Christ giving us basically 2 commands. 2 commands will rise to the surface. As we study the New Testament, this is one. 13:34, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." This is what the Lord expects us to do until he returns. Feed our hungry brothers and sisters. Give water to our thirsty brothers and sisters. Clothe our naked brothers and sisters. Provide for our homeless brothers and sisters. Care for our sick brothers and sisters. And care for our brothers and sisters in prison. This is our responsibility. And we are to do this faithfully until Christ returns. What's another one? Number 2, we are responsible to faithfully love and serve our spouse until Christ returns. Join me in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must love his wife and he as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. The husband is responsible to love his wife. The wife is responsible to respect her husband. We are to faithfully carry out our duties as husbands and wives until Christ returns. What's another one? Number three. Responsibility. We are responsible to train our children until Christ returns. You're already there. Look at Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first command with a promise, that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on the earth. Verse 4, gentlemen, look. Verse 4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. This is our responsibility, men. Please join me in Titus chapter 2. Titus 2:3. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can teach the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, to be subject to their own husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. We are to faithfully, we are responsible to train our children until Christ returns. And number four, we are responsible to win and train other followers of Christ until he returns. Join me in Matthew 28. The final verses in Matthew. Could anything be any clearer, brothers and sisters, than when Jesus is telling us to faithfully carry out our duty until he returns? He means this. He means this. He's in Galilee, and he looks at his disciples, and he's about to go back up to heaven. He has just, before his crucifixion, he gave us this beautiful sermon that we've been studying. He gives parable after parable after parable, saying, be faithful until I return. I'm leaving. Be faithful until I return. And then his final words to the church are these: all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Could anything be any clearer? That is our responsibility. I hope you're still in 2 Corinthians 5. Let's go there and look at it. Should have kept your place in 2 Corinthians 5:14. Let's look at it one more time. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Look, brothers and sisters, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is the master that has entrusted to each one of us, according to our ability, 5 talents or 2 talents or 1 talent. He has gone off on a long journey, and what has he asked us to do? To be his ambassadors. Nothing is clearer from the scripture than this is the job he has given us to do. If you're a Christian this morning, you are not here for you. You are not here for you. You are Christ's ambassador. And that is what he expects us to do. Dave Duckett was up here a few moments ago with a crankshaft, and I mentioned 323 Home and Auto Services, and I was reminded of a faithful servant in the absence of the master. Julie and I were home several months ago. I think it was months. And my sink in the kitchen was leaking. Julie showed me, there's water all under the sink. And I thought, oh, geez, I don't really have time to fix that. I probably don't know how anyway. I'm going to call 323. Got on the phone to 323. Dave answered. I said, Dave, my sink. He says, rats. Because I'm on my way. Where is it you go? Santa Maria. I'm on my way to Santa Maria. But worry not. I have left R.G. Hendricks with keys, truck, tools. The business is in his hands. It's like the master that went away and said, I'm leaving the business to you. I called R.G. He was at my house in 20 minutes. He fixed the problem, and it's still fixed today. This is not a commercial for 323. However, it's an example of a faithful servant. Dave said, RG, I'm leaving town. Here is the business. And RG was faithful to take care of that. That's what it means, a faithful servant. You know why RG was faithful? And this is the key. We're saved by grace. RG was faithful because he truly loves the Master. Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? I want to give you something as we close. We've studied a talent. We know how much a talent is. Let's close focusing on the grace of the Master. Would you please join me for our final scripture in Matthew 18? Matthew 18. Now that you know what a talent is, this story is going to really jump out at you. Matthew 18, 21. Classic story, one of my favorites in the whole Bible. Matthew 18, 21. Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven, but 77 times." Or your version would say 70 times seven. And then he tells a most fascinating story. "Therefore, the kingdom of God is like a king." Who's the king? God. God is the king. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants." Who are the servants? We are the servants. "As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him." Brothers and sisters, one talent is 75 pounds of silver. One talent is 20 years' wages. 10,000 talents. The Greek word for 10,000 is myrios. We get the word myriad. You've heard that saying, myriads and myriads. The Greek word myrios is the largest number for which there is a word in Greek. You cannot write a bigger number. The talent is the largest unit of measure. Myrios is the largest number. Jesus is trying to say, "You owed me a countless debt." And what happens? Verse 25. "Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master, who is God, took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go." My question to you this morning is, do you love him enough to serve him faithfully until he returns? Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, you have canceled a debt that we could never, ever pay. And you've invited us to be your children, not because we were good enough, not because we were righteous enough, but because of your amazing grace. And we pray that out of our genuine love for you and out of gratitude, we would serve you faithfully and gladly until you return. Trinity Baptist Church wants you to know that we will do anything for you.
because we adore you. Thank you for canceling our debt. In Jesus' name, amen.